Yes. All right, okay, everything's working. Okay, so close the door, we'll wait another 20 seconds. Everyone gave me a sob story. Then I found out there was no shear before. I understand already. And everyone, their wives all have doctor's appointments. They're all babysitting. Oh, boy. All right. So, a government, Netanyahu just told Shas, I wish I could bring you in, but my back is against the wall. And it's on the news now. I just heard the news at 5 o'clock. And I have to say, I predicted all this. I've lived to 44 years, and I know the players. I know the players. But the hatred that Shas has for Yehuda V'Shomer, it is unbelievable. Thank God there's a David that we have in davening, Mamushinim Alti Tikva. If I didn't have that to daven, I would explode. Our slow murderers, mamish murderers, and no belief. This is not. I'll talk about it next Monday. But the problem is, these are innocent young fellas. What are they? They don't know what's going on here. They're good. They're pure. They're sincere. Oh my gosh! All right, let's forget about everything. We have to learn Torah and be happy. And we have to be happy because we're only human beings, and God should give strength. First of all, today is Sunday, March 3rd, 2013, if I'm correct. It's very hard for me to speak in terms of 2013, because I still remember 1913. Yehuda, I'm happy to see you. Without the boy, without the son,
no.
The girl, without the baby, you told me you had a babysit.
Well, it changed.
It changed, all right. I told you, you can bring the baby. Yeah, I have students who sleep through Shia, the baby will sleep through Al Daga. I want to say hello to my students in front of me, and I have to thank you for coming, because this already, I know from experience, after Purim, everyone gets drunk and no one gets sober again. I also want to say hello to the many listening across the world. I appreciate all your comments, and I just want to mention, someone picked up on a Shia, Noam Konigsberg. I know the family from Detroit originally, part of his siblings were all my students. And I asked the question years ago when I spoke about the Besamim Rosh, whatever happened to Schoberlin's family? So he checked it out, and unfortunately, he tells me his grandson was a big Talmud Chacham, and he was named Shaul, and he too went off the path. Wanted to broaden, couldn't broaden, there was no IU at the time, wound up becoming a Christian, ultimately a wanderer before dying in poverty in the Jewish hospital in Frankfurt am Main. So that's a sad story. Regarding the Rambam and the whole question we got into with the Aleppo Code and the Rambam, the Sefer Ben Asher, so two Talmidim wrote to me that generally speaking, the scholars identify the Aleppo Code as Ben Asher, as the code that the Rambam refers to. Nachum Lam sent me a lot of information on it, and if anyone is really interested in going through it, you can take the sheet after the class. But it's a fascinating topic, and my memory was correct when I know the Rambam, but I recall that the Aleppo Code ties in with the Rambam as well. Now, I just want to mention that, we mortals have Mehodnish, we're only servants and servants of the Almighty, and He calls the shots. And Vayido Maharon, at times it's hard to understand. So first of all, I want to mention that today is the first Yahrzeit of my closest friend, Rabbi Dr. Professor Tzvi Groner. I recall his memory fondly. I apologize to the family. They have a memorial today not far from here at this very hour. And they asked me to speak, but I can't be in two places at once. In addition, I also want to dedicate this year to the Lamb family, to my student, Rabbi Mark Dratch, Moshe Dratch, sitting shiva for his beloved wife, Sarah, who I yet remember as a young lady, when she was a classmate of my eldest daughter, and to Rabbi Lam and Mrs. Lam and to her brothers and her sister. And my heart is very heavy. A young girl was, God should give strength, but we can't let the Satan have the final word. We can't let the Malach HaMavet have the final victory, and we must go further in dignity. And I dedicate the shir to her memory. Now, we finished out last week the whole question of if we find a new manuscript. I see from the response all over the world, a lot of people are fascinated by the topic, and I understand Reb Heschel Schechter spoke about it recently. I was given a link, I heard him speak, and I will come back to the topic again when I deal with the Kuntres Hashach and Paskening Halacha L'maisa. But there's no question that if we're going to let every manuscript we find totally throw the halacha overboard, then we run into a whole problem. Where does it end? And how do we know that we have the final and correct manuscript? And that essentially is the Chazon Ish. And with all that agree, I showed you so many agree with the Chazon Ish, including my own Rebbe. It would appear to me that the Rav agrees with the Chazon Ish. When you see his dialogue with Rav Shaul Lieberman, and it was a dialogue the Rav repeated, I heard it from him many times. In my book, I quote it word by word. Rav Heschel paraphrases it, but I quote it word by word as one of the times the Rav said it. I gave you the source. You can go back and actually hear him talk about it. And it's that was the Rav, that was Rav Shaul Lieberman. Reb Menashe Katan comes down on the side of the Rav and the Chazon Ish. Reb Moshe Feinstein. On the other hand, there's no question that the Sri Deyesh was very makpid that we should look at the new manuscripts and consider the new manuscripts, and we have to take the new manuscripts very seriously. Out the Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, he said we can no longer be makil if we find the manuscript being machmir. So it's interesting how the gamut runs, and I referred you to the article from Moshe Bleich. Very, very fascinating. Okay, but now I want to go one step further, and this too is a logical outcome of everything we said for the last few months. Here we lay down a halacha kabat ra'im. That's how it all began with the manuscripts, the Ramach, Hoshen Mishpat, all the sources I gave you. Halacha kabat ra'i means, and to play very simply, some of you had a Shiloh with the Yontif Sheni, those of you that are not Israelis, some of you are Israelis already, I recognize that, some of you are not Israelis yet, so you had a Shiloh with Yontif Sheni. So you ask your Rebbe, whoever your Rebbe is, that your last Shiloh, I'll say your last Grak Heffet. Okay. So then you come and you tell your wife, well, I asked my Rebbe, Rabbi Kefet, and he passed me what he passed me, and your wife says, but I learned the Shulchan Aruch says the opposite. Who the heck is Rabbi Kefet? What kind of Shiloh? And your wife convinces you, you have to go to Germany where the grave of Rabbi Akiva Eger is still there, I understand, it survived the Hitler period. And you'll ask Rabbi Akiva Eger to Paskin, who the heck means Rabbi Kefet, if we can ask Rabbi Akiva Eger. No, and you'll tell Rabbi Akiva Eger, if it's one day, knock once, or send smoke out of the grave once, to paraphrase the Gemara, if it's 2 days, send smoke twice. All right, you all understand halacha can't go like this, and I gave you the sources, halacha kabat ra'i, and why kabat ra'i, yiftach bedoro, tishmul bedoro, ein ledayin elamashein of rawat, and this is the way we paskin. Okay, and you have to go to the Rav alive today, and we have to assume that when he paskins, he's a Yirei Shemayim, he doesn't stam paskin, it's not throwing dots at a picture, you hit, you miss. He's done his research, he has seen what is written, and he paskins what he paskins. Fine. This leads us into a tremendous question. And this question is going to occupy our time today, perhaps next week after Pesach as well. Well, if this is the case, how come the Shulchan Aruch is so important? And you all know, you're studying for Smicha. You're studying for Smicha, you're studying Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya. You have a Shaila on the Kveis Davening. You want to know what Tachnun is all about? I heard Rabbi Bednash speaking about Tachnun today before Mincha. You want to know what Tachnun is all about? No, you open up the Mishnah Brura. What is the Mishnah Brura? It's a commentary on Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim. You're more sophisticated, so you open up the Aruch HaShulchan. What's the Aruch HaShulchan? A commentary on Aruch Chaim. So what made the Shulchan Aruch so important? And I ended off last week's shiur. Remember the upset Rabbi Rubin? He wanted a quick answer, but Yitzchak, there are no quick answers. But I quoted to you from the famous issue of Bamishpacha, where my classmate, my colleague, Rabbi Heschel Schechter, prized disciple of halachic man. And here he's describing, and I'm going to digress for a minute to quote to you because it's interesting, Rabbi Heschel's descriptions here. And oftentimes we would wonder why he behaved differently from others, referring to the Rav. And as we got older, we would look into the Shulchan Aruch that he simply followed its rulings. He was a great stickler when it came to the Shulchan Aruch. Every minute stated in the Shulchan Aruch was an unyielding importance to him. And he was adamant that we follow each and every one of them. He would disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. He would disagree with the ruling of the Chazon Ish that was based upon a strict interpretation of the halacha without taking an established minhag or taking the psak of the Shulchan Aruch into account. And there's Reb Heschel telling you black and white, the Rav, it all begins and ends with the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? Now, I just want to digress for a moment, because this, if you haven't read the article, this is very cute and very honest. And I've been criticized, you know, I've 22 years, I gave 22 years worth of different shurim on the Rav. I just got an email today. I'm sure I must have given 20 years ago on the Rav in Boston, Josh Schneider. I answered him already, thank God. Thank God my memory is still working. Imagine to get a Shiloh and a Shia you gave 20 years ago and he just heard your voice. To him it's like you gave it a minute ago. But Baruch Hashem, I answered him. I know what he was talking about. So I got criticized. I remember a woman wrote on, that's before I knew how to use a computer, but they brought me a website where a woman was in tears, how cruel Rabbi Soloveitchik was. So I quote to you, I returned to where Rav Schachter observed his Rebbe most in a small classroom, and I inquired about Rav Soloveitchik's demeanor there. Quote, in those years he became quickly impatient when someone failed to comprehend the shiur. I remember one of the boys asked him once a question in Yoredeya. He got so agitated that he raised his voice saying, what's the matter with you? How can you possibly not understand? The walls here already know Yoredeya. So another boy piped up, true, but the walls heard it already 10 times. This is the first time we're learning it. All right, this is an interesting comment on the Rav. The truth of the matter is that the Reb Moshe had a temper too. The Rav had a temper. The Beit HaLevi had a temper. It skipped Reb Chaim. Reb Yosef HaLevi, Reb Aaron HaLevi Soloveitchik, Reb Yosef is his son. Reb Aaron HaLevi Soloveitchik did not have a temper. They say he was more like his mother, and the Rav was more like his father. Not they say, I can say it too, because I knew the mother and I knew the father. But those who knew them intimately reached this conclusion. And it's true, the Rav had a temper, and we were frightened, and you all know Rabbi Lamb said it, and everyone says it. But the people who grew up in the Yad Scroll world, you know, they're not used to hearing a critical description of a Rebbe. So it bothered that woman that I also spoke about the Rav's temper. But later on, we learned to live with his flying off the handle, and the Rav mellowed in later years. I was very sad when I saw the Rav in the 80s giving shiur. I cried because he was so mellow, it was sad to see what age had done to him. I rather loved the Rav when he chopped your head off and you had to fight back. Of course, if you were Chaim Potok, you ran away to the seminary. And that, of course, is a sad story. All right. Then he goes on. Rav Belkin, the former Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva University at the time, used to say to me, quote, "Your Rebbe is wonderful. I learned in Rotten by Rav Naftali Trapsitzal, and hardly anyone understood his Shayorim. However, your Rebbe is unbelievable. He can explain the most complicated concepts so that the boys actually understand what he is saying. Yet he has one shortcoming. He thinks that even the biggest dummy can comprehend his teachings. That good of an educator, he's not." Okay? So that's Reb Peschel quoting Reb Shmuel Belkin about the Rav. It's an interesting point, and I made the same point when I spoke at YU a few weeks ago, or a month ago, or 2 months ago already. Time flies, on December 2nd. So when I gave the talk on Reb Aaron Cutler, I quoted the Rav. I actually heard the Rav say this. Where was he different than Reb Aaron Cutler? Of course, Reb Aaron Cutler, I heard shiurim by Reb Aaron Cutler too. Reb Aaron Cutler gave shiur for the Iluyim. If you followed Reb Aaron Cutler after the first 18 minutes, you were a giant. Because Reb Aaron at the shist, he went so quickly and he went so fast. And he took for granted you understood his allusions and what he was quoting and what he was saying. All right, there were the giants, to use the Volozhin terminology, there were the Ariyot Shebechabura. There was Reb Yankel Lishif, not the Reb Yankel Lishif that Satmar created into a Reb Yankel, the president of Temple Emanuel, gave $1,000 in 1885, and he became Reb Yankel Lishif. I'm talking about the Yankel Lishif, the Talmud Mufak of Reb Aaron Cutler, the American Talmud Mufak, who later married the Brisker Rebbe's daughter. She lived in, well, he's alive, he's in Geula. And Reb Yankel Lishif, and there were others, Reb Yitzchak Feigelstadt, Reb Moshe Eisenman, the old Reb Moshe Eisenman, and they understood Reb Aaron Sprach, but the average individual, then there would have to be a Chazar Ishi, you would have to go over it, what Reb Aaron said in 45 minutes would take you 3-4 days to go over until you comprehended it. The Rav, on the other hand, and this is true, the Rav used to say, "I'm not like Reb Aaron, I want the average student to understand me." And that is correct. The Rav gave a shiur, was organized, it was built, he repeated himself, and he hit away at the theme, and most of the fellas, ultimately, within a year or two, if I stand in the Sprach, you understood the Rav's language, and you were able to master, and you were able to fight back occasionally. And I told you, the proudest moment in my life as a student, that it turns up in a recording, was in Sanhedrin. I think it was the second year. I gave the Rav a whole svara, and he barks at me, "What are you, a conservative rabbi? What?" And he rips my svara apart. But I was so proud. Call me a reform rabbi, excuse me, not a conservative rabbi. What are you, a reform rabbi? But I was very proud that the Rav smacked my face and called me a reform rabbi, but at least who it hashaved me. I was really mad at my classmates because no one defended me. Everyone was laughing. You hear on the tape, 30 other guys are laughing. The Rav calls Ani Roskoff a reform rabbi, and they're laughing. Okay. So we've asked a very important question. What's the Shulchan Aruch? What has happened here? What the Shulchan Aruch? And not only that, I'm going to show you a source now that is the most important source every rabbi has to face. And the truth of the matter is, if you take this source literally, I'm going to show you sources that do, you're not even allowed to open the Shulchan Aruch. And here's the Gemara in Sota, Daf Chaf Bet Amid Aleph. Now, this is a sugya that everyone should look up. First of all, I'm going to do the second half first, then I'll do the first part of the sugya. I'm inverting it simply for the sake of pedagogy. Who are we to paskin? Well, who gives us the right to paskin? All right, you have to have knowledge, you have to have self-confidence. And I told you, my wife, should live and be well, used to tell me, still tells me, 50, 40, 30 years ago when she asked me a shayla, inevitably I was machmir. Today she asked me a shayla, many times I'm mekiel. She said, what happened to you? Are you less frum? Absolutely not. But I'm more learned. More learned means you have more self-confidence, more sources, more understanding. So the Gemara in Saita says on the Pasuk from Mishlei, Ki rabim chalelim hi pila, va'atsumim kol harugeha. That at times your wisdom or lack of wisdom kills many people. And the Gemara dashes, rabim chalelim hi pila, zetal mit chacham shelo hiyia lahora'ah. And this you see on many of the websites. Everyone has an opinion in halacha. They can be ameiritz to the fifth power, but they have an opinion. What, are you an idiot? If you don't know how to learn, you have no right to paskin, because inevitably you're going to paskin incorrectly. Yes, they paskin on the basis of emotion, of psychology, of sociology, of the New York Times, of Haaretz. I understand it. But that, why are we off? I understand it. But why does that give us the right to paskin? All right, these are factors have to be taken into consideration. But you got to be a bucky and shas and paskin. So if someone does not have a paskin, any paskins, he is a murderer, a spiritual murderer. And this is the whole concept of smicha. What is the concept of smicha? You fellows are getting smicha. You're getting smicha? What are you talking about? No one in this room has smicha. Can anyone tell me what smicha is? How many of you learned Sanhedrin? Smicha is a musmach ish mi piyish mi Moshe Rabbeinu. This smicha was abolished in the times of the Marayim. We lost the tradition. We lost the chain. We lost the shalshelet hazahav of smicha. None of us have real smicha. Rabbi Yoshev didn't have real smicha. Rabbi Moshe didn't have real smicha. What do we get? What we really get is heta hara'a. Look, you'll understand. You can look into the Rambam. You'll see what I'm talking about. Hilchot Tamei Torah. But what we get the right to paskin. In other words, our Rabbeim say that this young man has learned already Shas and Paiskim and is a Yerei Shemayim, and he's starting to develop the ability to paskin. This is why, really, when we say we're studying for smicha to be more pedantic and didactic, we should say we're studying for heta hora'ah. Fine. Now there's another side to the coin. You come to a person who's very learned. No, I knew people in yeshiva in my time. I have to tell you, Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, there was a mirror image of Rabbi Aaron. There was a fellow in yeshiva, Gershon Sadowski. The Gersh, what this man knew, the smicha bechinah were oral. So when Gersh went in for the smicha bechinah, you went in, you faced the Rav, Rav Moshe Shatzkis, and Rav Shmuel Belkin. Let me tell you, the average student didn't eat a week before. He was on tea and crackers, salty crackers. You couldn't digest anything else. You were a nervous wreck. But the Gersh goes in, and we were a whole group of inquisitive little kids. It was a small yeshiva then. We all knew each other. We were outside the room with our ears, you know, glued to the door. And it was Rabbi Belkin's office, main academic center, whatever you call the building today. I could show you the office. I can show you exactly where this bechinah took place. And the Gersh walks out 2 minutes after going in. And we say to him, Gersh, what happened? No, doesn't even look at it, walks in there, mumbles something, walks back to the Beis Medrash, opens the Gemara, is back to where he was and where he's been and where he is, should be for many more years. We later found out that they shot a question at him. He started to recite the Shachin Taz by heart, one word after another. The Rav finally interrupted him at the end of 2 minutes. He's like a computer. We didn't have computers yet, but he was a computer. The Rav says to him, "No, I'm in Vaisnas to Kens. It's genug. We don't want to waste time." They threw him out. We know that you know enough, out. So the Gersh didn't go into the rabbinate. Why didn't he go into the rabbinate? His father was an early mismach of the yeshiva, the Meitzer Te'ilui, who we spoke about last Monday. And his father went through hell at Gevalgad here and Gevalgad, and well, I don't know English anymore. I'm going back to my youth, I apologize. At Gevalgad, how do you say it? Gevalgad in English? He wandered, not Gevalgad, Gevalgad meant Asach Med, and he wandered. All right, he was in Baltimore, and Gersh. Oh boy, we're never a... Go see why that's... you don't know. 1 second. All right. 1 second. Give me 1 second to interrupt. Let's see. This is on... No. I have my own system that's reliable. I don't know here. Give a bang, a clap, power. 1 second. Okay, one clock. You see that? Like that TV series, Keeping Up Appearances. If you know that series, I think that's the right one, or do I have it? Anyway, say it's an English TV series. You get the clock, and the TV works. So Gersh never went into the rabbinate, and you have to know. He worked for the IRS. He was a genius. Whatever he did, Baruch Hashem, got early retirement. So I met him this summer. So I sort of intimated to him. I quoted the second half of this Gemara, basically. I'll give it to you in a second. You had all that knowledge, all that learning. So he says to me, no, you should know. I tried to share my knowledge. Don't you remember when I got smicha, I taught in High Life for a few months. But in order to teach his High Life, that's the precursor to, Hafta today. Highlight, Hebrew Institute, Long Island. Okay, it was a big thing, Highlight, when that was established. And today it's gone through mergers, like SAR. Like I went to Solanta, today SAR Academy has as much resemblance to Solanta as I have to Mayor Tzidon. But that's a different story. So Gersh says to me, I try to teach, but in order to teach you need knowledge. And you need the ability to excite the students. So Gersh says to me, you know I had the knowledge. I did not have the ability to excite the students. That they fired me at the end of a few months. But you see, there's a second part. What's the second part? Vatsumim kol harugecha zet talmid chacham shehigia lahora'a v'einam odeh. In other words, you have the ability, you're a Talmud Chacham, you're Bucky and Shasim Paiskim, and you don't teach, you don't Paskin, you're a murderer. Because if you're not going to do it, who takes over? Lemakos, Lo Yitzlachnim, phonies. God have mercy, what's going on in the Torah world today with so-called rabbis and teachers. Scandals from Australia to England, to Canada, to the United States, to Israel. I'm going to talk about it at the press conference, but this is a fabulous Gemara, a very important Gemara, and you, all you young rabbis, have to look into the mirror. Who am I? Am I a Talmud Sha'od Lahugia Lahora? Then please be diffident, be hesitant, pass on the Shailas, talk it over with the Rav, with the Talmud Chacham. Or are you a Talmud Shehigia Lahora? Then you have a responsibility. If you're not going to teach, it's a vacuum. Who steps into the vacuum? And you all know this is a horrendous problem, because while you graduate, some of our best graduates become medical doctors, space scientists, rocket scientists, world-class lawyers, and you speak with them. Why? All right, they want to make a living. I can't argue with that. But we who care about Torah, I say a melamed should be the best paid occupation for any Jewish boy. You need good melamdim. But if the best melamdim become rocket scientists, Torah matahayala. It's not a simple question, but what a Gemara. Okay? That's one part of the Gemara. Never forget that Gemara. It's a tragedy if you paskin and you don't know how, but it's an equal tragedy if you know how and you desist. You find fulfillment elsewhere. Michael, I'm not criticizing. I have all my grandsons. Not one wants to be a Rebbe. And each one, they're all Hesda boys, graduates. Some of them are real Lamdanim, the Yoreim, the Shleimim.
He has incredible disdain for teachers.
Say them, we know. So I hear
something. My wife was told to her face when they asked for an increase in salary, don't blame us, you chose to be a teacher.
You're going
to go into a real
profession. You're supporting. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. That if you don't, there's a void. And my grandsons tell me, Saba, we want to make a living. That's why you got to give Rahman's credit.
It has to be said that his wife, over many years, influenced children. And
no, I know. Right.
So that was
a salary. Right. Yeah, but you can't pay bills with Sipuk.
Thank you. Appreciate
you saying that. Later on, that's
maker.
Baruch Hashem. Anyway, be it as it may.
Those who can't and do, and those who do and don't.
Right. Those are the two tragedies. But there's another Gemara here. Ah, Tana, we learned. Hatanayim Mavalei Olam. That people who learn from the Mishnah are destroying the world. Wow. So the Gemara asked right away, Mavalei Olam? Sal Kadaitcha? If someone learns a Mishnah and paskins from the Mishnah, he's destroying the world? Amar Ravina. Shemorin Halacha Mitoch Mishnatan. That they paskin by simply looking at the Mishnah. Now, what does this mean? That if you look at a Mishnah, remember, we're talking now in the Gemara. There was no Shulchan Aruch yet, there were no Rishonim yet, there were no Achronim yet. This is the Gemara, the time of the Gemara. And the Gemara is saying that people who paskin from a Mishnah destroy the world. Wow, what's going on here? Rashi is magnificent. It's not enough just to recite a Mishnah. You have to understand the Mishnah. You have to understand the opinions. You have to understand what's behind it. You have to be able to apply it to the question in front of you. Look into Rashi. I paraphrased Rashi word by word. If you're just going to take a Mishnah and paskin from the Mishnah, many times you're going to make a mistake. That Mishnah does not apply in this case. There are other factors. You have to understand the Mishnah. You have to understand what the Mishnah is saying. You have to understand what the Pesach is. I want to tell you that this little Gemara, these few lines, and we're going to come back to it in a second, this leads us into a problem that haunts us if you're a mechanech. The kids are Shulchan Aruch. Time and again, this problem comes to the fore. Just this Shabbos, I was walking home from Mincha, Professor Englert, he was a member of the Supreme Court, a lo pashut. He retired when he reached a certain age. He's a big Talmud Chacham and a world-famous professor in law and a big Yirei Shamayim. And we were walking home from shul, and he told me a story with his grandfather, that someone asked his grandfather a shaila. This was in Switzerland. And his grandfather starts to think and opening Sfarim, And another guy pops up and he says, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, and his grandfather gets hysterical, he says, 20 years I've researched this question, and you're quoting to me a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch? You see, this is a problem. You take a kid, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is beautiful. It gives you a world, a solid world, beautiful, black and white. But is that really halacha? Is that really how we paskin? On the other hand, what are you going to do? Take a kid of 10, 11, and start confusing him? I don't know. It's an interesting she'ela. You should know that Rabbi Lichtenstein has, this she'ela has been thrown at Rabbarin tens and tens of times at press conferences in the Gush. And it's not black and white. We need a kitza. A kid needs a structure. A kid needs a framework. The worst way to raise children is to tell them there's no framework. But I would do it the Rakefet method. It's painting a picture that every child has to know there's a misgedet misaviv, there's a frame. We don't cross that frame. But the picture is very individualistic. No two pictures are alike. And he has to understand, this is Shlomo Ganzfried, but there are other poskim. You don't have to confuse him at the age of 10 and give him 3-4 different opinions. But he has to understand, there's Ashkenazim, there's Sfardim, there are other poskim, there's a Shach, a Taz, a Mogen Avram, etc. Okay, it's a very fascinating question. Well, that's what the Gemara says. You paskin from a Mishnah, you are destroying the world. Gentlemen, I hate to upset you, but look into the Mashar on this very Gemara, Rav Shmuel Edels. First of all, what's his name, Rav Shmuel Edels? Did you ever learn about these names? I learned this in graduate school. Wonderful gift. Rav Shmuel, who belongs to Edel. Generally speaking, when a person was left with his mother, he was orphaned. His father died. She was widowed. She raised him. She was Moselet Nefesh to raise him. We honor her by calling him by her name. And that's what it means, the Mashah, Moreno Harab, Reb Shmuel Edels, he's the son of Edel. Today in Israel, we give children a name, Adina. I have a great-granddaughter, Adia. It's after people named Edel. And it's a beautiful compliment. He was orphaned at an early age. His mother was Moseret Nefesh to raise him. Reb Shmuel Edels. That's how you get the name. Many people get the name Chaika, Chaikas, many variations. It means they were raised by a mother whose name was Chaya. You look in to the Mashar on this Gemara. I blew it up. You get older, you have difficulty reading the little letters. Although, Baruch Hashem, if I hold it further away, I have no problem. But still, this is a little easier. Excuse me?
Rivlin,
Riva, Ubedorat Halalu, Open Shamorin Halacha Mitocha Shulchan Aruch. I apologize for upsetting you. The Mashar rips the heck out of Gris Kolel that you are, Eli Wagner is studying to be a rabbi, learning the Shulchan Aruch. How did your father get smicha? Your grandfather get smicha? Does your father have smicha too?
Yes.
So you also, why you?
No.
No, but also Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya. No, your grandfather, I know, got smicha the early 50s. Why you? Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya. You know what the Marsha says about you guys? That Dorat Halalu, if you paskin from the Shulchan Aruch, Hare Ein Yodim Taman Yan Shul Kodava. In lo yedat tekum mitchila b'dava mitoch ha-Talmud shehu shimush talmidei chachamim v'ta'ut nafal b'horatam v'harei hein beklaum v'alei olam v'yesh l'gobahem. This is the Mashiach. It's not Rav Sheffer attacking the chief rabbinate of Israel gives Bechinat Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Bednash gives a Bechinat Shulchan Aruch V'Yaredeya. Rabbi Miller will be back next year, give Bechinat. So I'm not attacking the Mashiach. He calls you world destroyers. You're going to paskin from Shulchan Aruch. That's like paskin from a Mishnah. You don't know the time. You don't understand that you wouldn't mishamish tamid chachamim, etc. And the Mashiach rebukes you for being so ignorant. Wow. 1 second, Ephraima. I haven't said a word yet, just getting you excited. It's a good fellow, Ephraima. Tops. I love at the Kotel, you always have something of interest that's a color couple that shows you hold by learning. Gentlemen, look into the Shulchan Aruch, Yoredeya, Siman Reish Mem Bet, Sif Katan Yud Gimel. And the Shulchan Aruch, quoting from the Mechaber now, paraphrasing the Gemara, Talmud Chacham Shele Yigila Ro Mora HaReza Shota Rasha V'Gas Ruach. Sounds like Rav Avadja speaking. V'yalav ne'amah ki rabim chalalim hipila. If you don't know how to paskin, and you wind up a posek, you're a shota, a fool, a rasha. Rasha, how do you say that in English? Vicious, evil, gas ruach, balgaiva, arrogant. And Mishlei says about you, you've killed many people. The Ramah says, the Talmidim haktanim have kovsim lahorot v'leishev berosh klitkandeo b'fnei amei aretz ma'bim machloket u'machrivim ha'olam u'machabim ne'ra shel Torah. And the young upstarts who sit up front and attempt to find favor in the mass, with the masses, they pander to the masses, and the masses are generally a bunch of jackasses. I'm a haaretz. I was in the rabbinate. I know what it's about. No, they destroy the light of Torah. All right. Gentlemen, in parentheses, we're going to talk about this in great length. I hope we'll reach it this year. I doubt it. Next year, Monday class. Who used these words? How many of you lived the 1910s, the 1920s, the 1930s? No? Why you? What you call why you today, Yehuda? Then it was called Yeshiva Sibiskol Chanan. Netanel, it was turning out Rabbanim. They wanted to join Moshe, the Agudas Rabbanim, the Union of Orthodox Rabbis of the United States and Canada. And the leaders of the Agudas Rabbanim said to them, word by word, you are Amei Aretz. You are ignoramuses. You are boors. You have no right to call yourself rabbis. How dare you want to join an organization of real rabbis from Europe, your Pesach Rabbanim, Ham Galen, and join Velayla that learn day and night, and Mabaki, and Shas, and Paiskim? Who the heck are you? And the Pruz, who did that give birth to? RCA. There it is, right there in the Ramah. Okay? Fine. Go one step further. Shulchan Aruch now, Sifkatan Yudalat Machaber, Kol Chachem Sheiki Lahora V'eino Mode, Hareze Monea Torah V'notein Mikshalot Lifnei Rabim. I think Mount Hebrew would say Mikshalim if I'm not mistaken. V'alav Ne'ma V'atzumim kol harugecha. Now that's the other side, that if you know how to learn and you become a rocket scientist, or you sit in the corner and you don't get involved and you don't take responsibility and you don't want a paskin and you just pass it on, you're also a murderer, because you create a vacuum. Okay. Look down. Look into the Pitchei Tshuva. All of you know that on all of the Shulchan Aruch, two different great Polish Rabbanim wrote indices to the responsa literature that was available through the middle of the 19th century. Look in to the Pitchei Tshuva. Sif Katan Chet in the Pitchei Tshuva. And he goes into the whole question of how to paskin. And he quotes the Gemara in Sota, and he quotes the Mashar, and he quotes the Mashar maledicting anyone who paskins directly from the Shulchan Aruch and doesn't work out the entire sugya, and perhaps doesn't even have to look at the Shulchan Aruch. And the Pitchei Tshuva says something amazing. He redeems us. V'yepsha, the dafka bizman harav mashar, shelo haya adayin shum chibur ala shulchan aruch, aval ha'ivra shenitchabru hatan chashar samagin avram v'shar achronim v'chol din mevuah hatam b'mkomo shapir dami laharot mitoch ha'shulchan aruch. And gentlemen, the Pitchei Tshuva saves us. And he says, the Mashal was right. But he was right when he wrote his strictures. And by the way, it's not only the Mashal. Many of the early Achronim found fault with paskening from the Shulchan Aruch. But today we have so many commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch that you can open the Shulchan Aruch, it's like opening a Gemara. The Gemara explains the Mishnah. Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos explains Rashi. The Rambam paskens. The Ravid critiques. So much on the Gemara. You open the Shulchan Aruch, there is no end to depth, to commentaries, to understanding. Today, when you deal with the Shulchan Aruch, you can comprehend, you can paskin. Times have changed. You can open the Aruch HaShulchan, and all of you know, the Aruch HaShulchan begins with the basic sources of the Shulchan Aruch. It begins with the Mishnah and the Gemara and the Rishonim, and he takes you to the Shulchan Aruch, and he takes you to the Ramah, and he takes you to the Shachan Taz, and he paskins the Mishnah Brura, the most wonderful Peirush on Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim. You can't go wrong with the Mishnah Brura. And then you can reach your own conclusion, your own thinking. So we're back to where we started. Fine. Paskin, knowledge, self-confidence, Shulchan Aruch, Peirushim, the Gemara and Sota, the Mashah, the Pitchei Tshuva. But I want to ask a simple question. We still haven't answered. Why the Shulchan Aruch? Why the Shulchan Aruch? Chesky? The Rush? The Rif? The Rambam? If you're a Lubavitcher, do you study a perek of Rambam every day? Rambam, fabulous, organized, beautiful modern Hebrew. What can be wrong? Why does Gris Kolel insist Shulchan Aruch? Reitz innovated, organized our high school, Talmudic Academy, 1916, January, the first yeshiva high school in the United States, the second in the world, right after Lida. we already were shut down. World War I. Reads innovated. Yeshiva College. Albert Einstein Medical School. Stern College for Women. Let's have another innovation. We're the only yeshiva that gives smicha after you've studied Hilchot Shchita and Machalat Asurot in the Rambam's Mishneh Torah. The Rif, the Rush, the Shulchan Aruch, the Tur, everything else is secondary. We give cover to Maimonides. Why the Shulchan Aruch? What happened here? And you heard what Rav Heschel said about the Rav? And you know your curriculum. And you know the curriculum with all the innovations of Chovevei Torah. I don't believe that they advocate giving smicha unless the student knows the Shulchan Aruch. Am I right or wrong? I'm not exactly a fan of Chovevei Torah, but I don't believe they don't. I think when JTS still gave Heta Horah and people learned, I'm sure they learned Shulchan Aruch. What did they learn in Hildesheim if not Shulchan Aruch? In Breslau if not Shulchan Aruch? Why the Shulchan Aruch? Okay. Gentlemen, I asked this question of Moriah Rebbe. Rabbi Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, Zeicher Tzaddik Livracha. Believe it or not, it's soon his 20th Yahrzeit. And basically, for the last 30 years, students have not really known him. It's a wonderful question. And the answer he gave me, and I heard the answer as a student in the 50s, discussed it at great length with him in the 70s, the answer he gave me is the key to understanding the dynamics of the halacha. And I want to ask you a very simple question. Kid goes to Ramaz, he has to do a term paper. I don't know if they would let a kid do a term paper like this in Ramaz today, in the year 2014, but years ago he might have gotten away with it. Kid does a term paper, and I'll show you some very responsible person who lives within walking distance of where this shir is being given in Bayit Vagan, advocated exactly what I'm about to say. You do a paper, a halachic framework that is different. Let every individual draw his halachic framework. Machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, I want to live like Beit Shammai. I don't believe in this nandy-pandy. Someone says, I want to convert, teach me the Torah, regalach, smack the guy's face and kick him away. You chatzif. You chatzif. I have a name like that. That's all you had to say to Rav Yeruchim Gerelik. You chatzif. I like Beit Shammai. Abaye and Rava. I like where Yalka Gam. I paskin differently. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. I love Rish Lakish. He was a gangster. I love gangsters. I love Wild West movies. I love Las Vegas. They just had a shootout right on the main street there in front of the biggest hotels. They killed people broad daylight. A few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. It's unbelievable. I love it. Fabulous. Rish Lakish is my man. No? Kid comes along, he develops his whole theory that this you can do on Shabbos, this you can't do on Yontif, whatever, the Taret Mishpacha. And for every word he says, he has a source in the Gemara. In the Goyim. Has a source. But it's his take on what Judaism is about. Anything wrong with this? Anything disturb you? If you asked the Reb this question in the 1950s, he would have shouted at you, amen. If you learn Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, you have the same scha of Limud Torah. If you act like Beit Shammai, you're a total oisvaf, trumpenik, pushtak, apikoris, whatever English word you want. Why? I don't, it's the same Torah Shabbat. You follow me, Ali? It's a fabulous question. It's the same Torah Shabbat path. The same scha. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, the same scha. Rabbi Rav Meir, the same scha. And yet, if you act like Beit Shammai, you're an oisvaf, a trumpenik, a poyer. I don't know. The Rabbeim taught me how to curse in every language. Baruch Hashem. Who asked this question? The Rambam. And I trust you know what I'm about to quote by heart. If you don't know it by heart, stop all your learning. Do not talk to your wives, to your children, to your parents, and seclude yourself for the next 36 hours and learn the Hakdamat HaRambam to Mishnah Torah by heart. And here's the key to Halacha, the key to Yiddishkeit, the key to Torah Shabbat Peh, the key to our existence as what the world calls Orthodox Jews. I hate that word because I don't believe in being narrow-minded. Our enemies pin the word as Orthodox. One way to go. As for Khalil, I'm the most open-minded person in the world. I'm defending Rav Moshe Weinberger, my Talmud's appointment. You didn't hear my vod. I said a good vod. That I see there's so much opposition, and I know who's opposing him. Anyone who wears a black hat has no right to oppose him, because they became Hasidim too. Rakefer is not a Hasid. I could oppose him. It's my Talmud. The world needs it. I have to raise my hands today. Hasidus is one. I'm a dinosaur. Am I going to change? No. I'm proud to be a Litvak. I'm proud to be a dinosaur. I'm proud to walk the streets of Kovna and Vilna every morning as I do. I am proud. But I have to recognize my great-grandchildren are being raised in a different world. But you're wearing a black hat and you oppose Rav Moshe Weinberger? Please, be consistent. The Eish Kodesh Rebbe. Unbelievable life. I've raised Talmidim, Gaonim, Rebbeim. Believe me, I'm proud of it. Don't have to think like me. I think the way I do. Say, don't try to change me. Don't be ashamed of me. Baruch Hashem, I think the way I do. The Rambam asked this very question. Why is it that when the Gemara reaches a decision, we can't change it? And you look into the Hakdamat HaRambam, and the Rambam says, when it comes, Ho'il, V'chol otan ha'dvarim she'betalmud. Listen to these words now. Hiskimu aleichem kol Yisrael. When it comes to a maskana in the Gemara, a psak, a gezeira, a takana, a minhag, all the Jews agreed. This is what we follow. The argument has ended. How did Truman say it? The buck stops here. This is the end. The machloket is beautiful, healthy, normal. But you can't go on with endless machloket. If we go on, and the Rambam says everywhere, and I'm paraphrasing, if we go on with Emet Machlokut, we wind up becoming two people, three people, four people, five people, six people, seven people. Never forget, when the first Rabbanim visited Russia, and I write about this in Washington, and tomorrow night a book is being launched on what we did in Russia, Kanayim Hara. Benetiv Hadamama. I write about it. When the first rabbinic delegation was a delegation of RCA, it was a coup they pulled off when Khrushchev came to power. And they come to Georgia. In Moscow they had no problem. Zemgiret Yiddish. The people cried. I write about the Drusha. that Rabbi Hollander preached in the Choral Synagogue, in the one functioning synagogue on Rehov Achapova. Fabulous drasha.
Ulitsa
Achapova. Small street, Ulitsa, not a prospect, not a big street. And he, der hat geredet Yiddish, alle haben verstanden. You come to Georgia. They look clean shaven rabbis in Georgia. Every rabbi had a beard. Georgia was greatly influenced by Chabad. The Georgian Rabbanim were yet part of the old tradition. And they take a look, these rabbis, clean shaven rabbi. Shachta, JJ's father, Heschel, Rabbi David Hollander, three other Rabbanim, American rabbis. Rabbi Hollander pulled out his tzitzit. The minute they saw the tzitzit, they were one. They were brothers. This is Yiddishkeit. Our demeanor may be different. Our deportment may be different. Remember the way I eulogized Rabbi Hartman. The descriptions, the Shem Toa may be different, but the Shem Etzem has to remain constant. The basic comportment, gestalt, the noun of our being, I am a Torah Jew. That doesn't change. The outward veneer, of course it varies. Shabbat, Kashrut, Karat Mishpacha, Tzitzit, Tfilin, Hadlakat Neirot, Chas v'chalila, that we should start to upset the apple cart. And any outcome of the Gemara obligates every Jew, Ba'asher Hu Sham. Hiskimu aleihem kol Yisrael. And these are the Chachmei Yisrael. V'heim sheshamu ha-kabbalah b'ikarei ha-torah kula. Ish mi pi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu. And these are the unbelievable words of the Rambam. The Rav told me that this concept of the Skim Aleim Kol Yisrael doesn't just happen once. It's ongoing. Doesn't happen with a vote. It's not something you put to a vote. It's the healthy, intuitive sense of the Lomdei Torah. This is why Gaonim have a certain authority that Rishonim don't have. Rishonim have an authority that Achronim don't have. And this is why you may have machloket for many years. But ultimately, there's an intuitive decision. Hiskimu aleihem kol Yisrael. And you have endless, endless examples. I'll give you a simple example from our lifetime. And a lot has been written on this. When I was growing up, I saw Hasidic Rebbeim turn lights on Yom Tov. It was a whole machloket. Chaver Knesset, Yehuda Ben Meir, before your time, was my classmate, Judah Rosenberg. Recognize the name? His great-grandfather wrote a whole sefer, a Polish Talmud Chacham, where he was matir turning on lights on Yom Tov. They say in Lithuania they were upon him. Why? They said turning on a light is no different than taking, you can light a candle from a candle on Yom Tov, yes or no? Fire from fire, electricity from electricity. As we started to understand electricity on a deeper level, many poskim said, no, the comparison is not right. Fire is fire is fire. Electricity, you complete a circuit, you're boner, you're makibah patish. It's different malachat nvar than lo tova aru esh. Many people answered. Today, I don't believe there's a posik in the world who will be matir turning on lights on Yatav. Even Rav Ovadia, and he follows all the mekilim of the Sfadik world, but even Rav Ovadia paskins, I heard this with my own ears in the 70s from him, that if your parents turn on lights on Yatav, don't rebuke them. But you shouldn't. We understand electricity better today. So you see, there's an ongoing process. Well, one second, I'll give you Kitniot's a minhag. There you can't really make this type of assumption, because a minhag is a minhag is a minhag. It may make no sense whatsoever, but it's a minhag. Hiskimu Kol Yisrael can't turn an Ashkenazi into a Sfadi. If you take Rav Ovadia's approach that we become Sfadim when we come to Israel, then you can make a very strong case for Kitniot. Okay. But I'll give you another example, Lekula, not Lechumra now. When electric shavers came out, there was a tremendous machloket. Schick, Remington, it's before your time. Schick was the first electric shaver, then Remington came about. And then, of course, Norelka or Phillips, whatever name you know it by. And there was a world written, I still remember in Lakewood, I think I told you the story, if not I told it over the decades. We were, to use English that we used then, we were keeping chicky. What does it mean, keeping chicky? We had two guys. Lakewood was very small when I learned there. So there was the base medrash, and upstairs there were bedrooms. And Rabbarin was in the yeshiva. And Rabbarin, two guys were standing on the stairway, keeping chicky. That means watching out. If Rabbarin would come, they would blow a whistle. What was going on upstairs? The guys were shaving with an electric shaver. Rabbarin Asid and Rab Moshe was Matir. And they didn't want to offend Rabbarin, so I often wondered what would happen if a guy got caught in the middle, half a face shaven, half a face not. Takaram Purim, they pulled that shtick in YU. I remember in Rabbi Volk's class, one of the wise guys shaved half his face, and he sat right in front of Rav Volk, and half the shiur he looked at him this way, and half the shiur he looked that way. And of course, Rav Volk was looking, here he sees a beard, and here he sees clean shaven. All right, it was a shtick. It's a big machloket. Without going into all the details now, I brought in the Norelko. When the Norelko came out, everyone asked, can you use an Norelko? A shik and a Remington work backwards and forwards. An Norelko worked in a circle. So I brought my Norelko into class. I put it down at the end of shiur, Rebbe Chavda Shaila, Avak Shaila with the Norelko, and the Rav said, take it apart, show me how it works. I took it apart, and the Rav was matir. The Rav said the whole heter is based upon the fact that an electric shaver is an electrified scissor. It's not a razor. You need a cutting edge and you need a guard. It's like a scissor. One part of the scissor is sharp, one part is a guard. It's just electrified. What's the difference if it cuts back and forth or if it cuts by going around in a circle? And the rub was matia. Nowadays, in the year 2014, I don't believe there's a responsible posek who will tell you cannot use an electric shaver. Yes, a talmid of mine wrote a book of 500-600 pages, Hadrat Panim, against shaving. I went through the whole sefer, and I can tell you I reached the conclusion it's absolutely permitted to use an electric shaver, despite what my Talmud wrote. But should a Jew have a beard? That's a different question. It could be, could not be. I saw the Ramchal, I spent time in Italy in the 1700s, and I can tell you the Ramchal and all this Chabura were totally clean shaven, al pi Kabbalah. So Baruch Hashem, I showed you this, I got Tam Seifa, I'm in good company. But I'm not going to argue with my grandsons when they grow beards. Okay, Baruch Hashem. But you see, Hiskinu Aleihem, you reach crystallization. You don't go on with machloket forever. In modern Hebrew, magiyim lehitapshut hilchatit. You reach a point where you finally can give a decision that is binding. Machloket does not go on forever. All right, I will agree with you. There's certain issues. It's not the end of the world with minhag. With minhag, you have a lot of differences. I can give you one simple difference that all of you are caught up in. How many candles does your wife light? Ephraim, how many candles does Fagi light? 3. No, you see right away, the baby is born, 3 candles. I am totally opposed to that minhag. 2 candles, Zachar v'Shamar. Am I right, am I wrong? I can very well be wrong, because I have a Talmud and a Talmidah in Australia. I was invited to the house Friday night, and we discussed it because they had a terrible tragedy, a teenage daughter who died from Yenim Machla. And I said, why do you have to light an extra candle and have the Akmas Nefesh every Friday night? And my Talmidah said to me, Rebbe, with all due respect, we feel her spirit is with us when we light the candle. So I have to tell you, I may be totally wrong. I smack my face. I'm an idiot. I'm an Eiswaf. I'm a Trumpenik. But on a minute, it's not the end of the world. Yitzchak is absolutely right. It's not pleasant to be here on Pesach. I know people that run away. They can't run away anymore because the OU for the first time is now giving a hashkacha with kidneyot in it. And they're not more, and just like the Israeli Amayaretz, they're not telling you, as far as what I understand, whether it's real kidneyot or kidneyot derivatives. Follow me? In Israel, it's Hamratzit Chogeget, the Yedah Charedit has us by the throat. But we should know how to learn a little bit. Lamdonim Shigila Hora could be the OU already, is the Zel Bazach. As long as there's a peanut in it, whether it's peanut oil or not peanut oil, or a regular peanut, it's already kidneyot. So it's a problem, I agree. But halachically, it's not the end of the world. It's nothing with nothing. Some eat, some don't eat, some use and make kidneyot. The main thing is it should be kosher l'Pesach. Okay. Baruch Hashem. Many achronim permit make kidneyot. And Eretz Yisrael, when I came in Aliyah, I told you, I asked Rabuntim in 1970, my first Pesach, we came in Aliyah after Pesach 69, my first Pesach, there was nothing to eat, I asked Rabuntim, and the chief rabbi, who was a great Lamdin, and by the way, spoke perfect English, who had been rabbi of Liverpool, told me that Minig Eretz Yisrael, that I later learned under Rav Kook, the famous question with the sesame factory, sesame oil. So I later learned that it was correct that the original minhag of Eretz Yisrael was to use make kidneyot. I even met people from the Eidah Charedit. I remember, I can even tell you the name of the family, Margulis. They told me, Alle Nutzendas, everyone uses this type of oil. But there are posting that amount here. In Lithuania, they didn't use make kidneyot. I understand in Germany, they didn't. In parts of Poland, they did use make kidneyot. It's a machlekes ha-poskim. But identify, but you're right, it's very nishpakvent, it's not comfortable. When my Talmud, the Moshe Chaim of Kasola, should live and be well, he's in America today, he's my Talmud in a number of years, as he would describe himself, I told you, walking through the supermarket, throwing every product into his wagon, when the Ashkenazim have to stand there looking and researching, and can he or can't he, and he says, I laugh at the world. Of course, what he's not telling you is the third generation of Svadak Rabbanim all married to Ashkenaziyot. So how much Eidach Mizrach Blara he has, I don't know, but he has enough to be part of the Eidach Mizrach. Baruch Hashem. Gentlemen, let me come to a tremendous question. Shulchan Aruch Hiskimu Aleihem. Will you ask the question? Why? What's so great about the Shulchan Aruch? As I alluded to before, what do we have against the Rambam? What do we have against the Rif? What do we have against the Rush? Why the Shulchan Aruch? And let me end off the class. Many have asked this question. We don't have a black and white answer. But we have many theories. I cannot claim originality on anything I'm going to say now, because I'm going to give you 3 very basic, irrefutable theories. But these are all theories that I've come up with over the generations. But if you look into Mishpat Ivri and see Professor Menachem Elon's voluminous footnotes, you'll see that I'm not the first one to guess like this. Number one, I'll tell you what's most fascinating about the Shulchan Aruch. Of all the Sifrei Psak, you can totally, completely, and absolutely follow his thinking. The Rambam, you all know what the Ravid had to say about him. Mishuga ish haruach. The Ravid, the Ra'abad, talking about Maimonides. If we use those words, our Rabbein would smack our faces. But the Rambam wrote, I don't have to give reasons. This is the psak. All you have to do is learn Chumash and then learn Mishnah Torah and you will know everything you have to know. Ke'ilu, it is from Har Sinai. And you all know that the Rambam never explained himself, and more has been written trying to explain the Rambam than on any other sefer we have. And if Natael will want to marry the daughter of a big Talmud Chacham, this Chol HaMoed Pesach, he has to work very hard coming up with Chidushin to try to show his father-in-law to be as if Ashtet Ashtet Rambam. And I have a friend who did just that. He tried to marry a Rebbe's tachta, and he sent the Rebbe endless perishion on the Rambam. The problem was that the Rebbe was an Amor, it was a Chassidic Rebbe, but so she married someone else, and he married someone else. Didn't work out the first time. Second time worked out, thank God. So my closest friend, my Chavruta, 60, 70 years ago. The Rambam, go and try to explain. All right, the Rush, a little bit, it's on the Gemara. You still break your teeth. The Shulchan Aruch, every word he paskened has an introduction. The Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam. The Beis Yosef on the Tur. Then he wrote the Shulchan Aruch. You follow me? So you can see the entire thought process. Go back to the Rambam when the Rambam dealt with that very problem. Look into the Kesef Mishnah written by Rabbi Yosef Karo, written by the Mechaber. Then you go to the Sefer Torah and look at the Beis Yosef, which is his classic work. He's known as the Beis Yosef. No one calls him the Shulchan Aruch. No one calls him the Kesef Mishnah. Everyone calls Rabbi Yosef Karo the Beit Yosef. How does Rabbi Avadja put it? Pashkenazim Yotzim B'Yad Rama, and we followed the Beis Yosef. Then he wrote the Shulchan Aruch. Fabulous. You can understand every word, where he's coming from. And this is why he went out. But there's a second reason. And the second reason we've alluded to time and time again. We are a split people. The state of Israel, you feel it at every juncture. Ashkenazim and Eidot HaMizrach. When I came in Aliyah, I'll be very autobiographical with you. I came with a kippah srugah and a black kippah. I wasn't I was a B'nai Akiva kid, but I learned in Lakewood. I didn't know where I fit in here. I went on that 69, 70. I went all over. I explored every place. Went to Yeshivat Hebron, the old Hebron in Geula. Hab sich gemischt. I heard Shmuasim from people whose name I adored from afar. And I picked up certain terminology that frightened me. I don't want to go further. The words that we used about Eidot HaMizrach, descendants of the Rambam, the Rif, etc. Oh boy, that's not for me. I'm proud to say that in the world in which I live and teach and perpetuate Yiddishkeit, the religious Zionist world, we are amalgamating into one people today. Inter-ethnic marriage, which I lectured on for so many months, was last year, the year before, I forget already. Every inter-ethnic marriage is a blessing, a miracle of Kibbutz Galyot. But nevertheless, we have Sfardim, we have Ashkenazim, we have differences. We still come into a shtibble and try to look for a sitter that's our nesach, even if the kehila may be davening eidot ha-mizrach or Sfard or Yemenite or whatever. It's instinctive. I'm guilty of it. My dear students, what happened with the Shulchan Aruch happened with no other psak, no other sefer psak. Shulchan Aruch wrote a Shulchan Aruch, set a table for a Dot HaMizrach. I'm very careful with my words because Sfardim is not the right term here. Sfardim is phony Ashkenazim. That's Hasidim who rebelled. So they took a different Nusach Tvila, played around with it a little, but if you daven Sfad, you can change Tashkenaz to be Matinevi. It's the same Nusach, basically. I have grandchildren who some daven Sfad, some daven Ashkenaz, depends.
Don't call Yemenite a Sfad.
Eidot HaMizrach. Yemenite, totally different, totally different. Eidot HaMizrach. He wrote the Shulchan Aruch by Eidot HaMizrach. Within a few years, Reb Moshe Isserles, living in Poland, put a tablecloth on the Shulchan Aruch, the Mapah for Ashkenazim. And you automatically had a safer psak that all Jews could live with. Ashkenazim and Eidot HaMizrach. And until today, you will never see the Shulchan Aruch printed without the Haggadah HaRamah. Many Amorites don't even realize what's happening. They read the Shulchan Aruch, read Ramah, they think it's all one and the same. It's two different worlds. But two different worlds that satisfy every Jew. Ba'asher hu shem. Wherever he lives, whatever he thinks, whichever way he dresses, whichever nusach he follows, he'll find an answer in the Mechaber or in the Ramah. As Rav Abadja put it, Ashkenazim yotzim biyad Ramah, play on words. And the Eidot HaMizrach, Maran HaBeit Yosef. It's a very powerful answer, and that may be the most accurate answer when all is said and done. But there's a third answer. A third answer which is critically important at this moment in time. When such controversy rages and foolishness dominates our religious newspapers, quotes that engender ripping kriya that from Jews are no different than the reformers of Germany and Temple Emanuel. With all due respect to Reb Yaakov Schiff, Mr. Jacob Schiff. Shulchan Aruch, one of a kind. Where was it written? Al Admat HaKodesh. In Tzfat. When you learn Shulchan Aruch, you can feel the breeze of the mountains of Tzfat hitting your face. Eretz Yisrael, our land, our vision, our dream, our homeland, our striving, our basic loyalty. Eretz Yisrael. Rambam was not here. The Rif was not here. The Rush was not here. The the Shulchan Aruch was here. For Huzacha. And the Jews, and remember, we're sitting here in Yerushalayim after 2,000 years of exile. We're sitting here in Yerushalayim with the whole world angry at us. Their hatred, their enmity, their jealousy that we have returned. And we're sitting here with over 6 million halachic Jews occupying the borders of the state of Israel. This is why the Shulchan Aruch, and how difficult it is for the ears to hear the enmity of the leaders of Shas today for Yehuda v'Shomran. How difficult to hear Reb Meshulam David Soloveitchik saying, and I quote, "We will have to leave Eretz Yisrael and go back to Ruslan," that's Russia, "and the United States." How difficult to hear a leader of our good that Yisrael say that serving in the army is Gezeirat Shmad. One has to rip clear when he hears such a bikurset said, Lo aleinu al atmat hakodesh, an army that is shomer Shabbat b'pkuda, shomer kashrut b'pkuda, an army that just built a $100,000 mikvah in the biggest Air Force base down south. Oyla ozen sheshomat devarim ka'el. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch was zeicha. It is Eretz Yisrael. To reiterate, important shiur today. The heart of it you cannot contest. You don't believe this is Eretz Yisrael? Fine. You don't believe Eretz Yisrael is a geographic concept? I heard our good Eretz Yisrael leaders in Borough Park speak like that. No different than the students of Moshe Mendelssohn. Mendelssohn would have never said it. But his students already went off the path. No different than the Pittsburgh Platform of 1885. No different. Not one iota different. Lo aleinu. The Shomer Shabbos does not make a total Jew. There's a total configuration. It's the heart of our desires, our belief, our aspirations, our strivings, and what enabled us to go forward after the Holocaust. If you saw the New York Times, what was it yesterday? You're overwhelmed. The rishit of Germany, what we're now discovering. Look at the New York Times. My dear students, why the Shulchan Aruch? Hiskima aleim kol Yisrael. It's an ongoing process. It's not a vote. The public doesn't get involved in these votes. I told you many times, the Mashar says, Makshin ha'olam. The world asks. And I asked my Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Weiss, my second Rebbe in the yeshiva, should live and be well, and back in 1953, Makshin ha'olam, what kind of world? Who gives a who? He says, the world that counts. The world of the Beit Medrash. This is the world of Rabbanim Gedolei Torah. The correspondence goes backwards and forwards. The computer today, backwards and forwards. We reach a conclusion. Why the Shulchan Aruch? Three reasons. Number one, his thought process right there in front of your eyes. Two, the Ramah did him the biggest favor, and there was a close relationship between them, by putting a tablecloth on that immediately turned the Shulchan Aruch into a code of law for every Jew who walks the face of the earth. And number three, the winds of Tzvat are blowing through the lines of the Shulchan Aruch. Gentlemen, I wouldn't miss tomorrow's Shayua for all the money that will be lost on the stock market as America continues downhill, if you know what's going on in the United States today. Yitzchak Reb Asher Weiss, hitting Grand Slam home runs with the Amalek piece. He doesn't discuss one issue. He touches it, but he doesn't know. 1 year, Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, was sick. And he couldn't go to shul, Pashat Zachar. And he announced he would be Yotzei Kriyat Zachar with the Kriya on Purim. Was he or wasn't he? Gentlemen, the latest Yeshurin, volume 27, is now in the library. Beginning on page, 1 second, I'll give this to Ephraim, a gift. Beginning on page Tuf Tuf Nun Hei, it has a minor biography of Reb Chaim Zimmerman. It's not major, but it alludes to Reb Chaim's difficulties. Finally, I want to thank my Talmud, Dov Reifer from Muncie. He sent me a Satma publication. And on page 7, for Purim, they have 3 different locations where they burn the Israeli flag. In Williamsburg, Muncie, and Kiryat Yovel, all at 3 o'clock, it tells you where. And in Borough Park, it gives you a phone number to call to find out where. Gentlemen, are these Jews or Apikorsim? Finally, thrill! Finally, for someone who saves, this is, I told you I went to the government archives, they told me they had material of the Ridbaz, and they honored me, and they showed me. This is a Xerox of the Ridbaz's signature on a letter. Very fascinating signature. Yaakov David Naum. Yaakov David Ridbaz. He no longer used Volovsky in Eretz Yisrael. Until we meet again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. in this room, be as retanotain liyolov kolach besorah tovet yeshut v'nechamot aleinu kol Yisrael das v'danya.
So, Rabbi, I need to ask you this question.
Yeah.
After your incredibly impassioned last statement, how can you give Rav HaGadol HaGaon Rav Yehoshua